Blog Talk Radio.
I was a hard drinking sinner with blood on my hands. I was a hard drinking sinner, a gun in my hands, drinking 40 pounds for dinner till I met a big man. And the man said, how do we do?
Freaking awesome studios. I'm in my studios and you're in your studios and we're just having a good time here. We're starting
a
little bit early.
I like my studio better.
I mean, I don't know. My studio is lush. The lush,
yeah,
luxurious, freaking awesome
is.
Studios. Yeah, we got all the bells and whistles, which is basically just my office computer. But I don't want to ruin anybody's conception about, you know, the freaking awesome studios. I'm not here with headphones on or, you know, just talking on my cell phone. Talking on my cell phone. So it's been a while since I've seen you. How have you been?
I know, all of 2 hours. I've been good.
Shit,
I've been good.
It hasn't even been that long. 2 hours. Shit,
I guess not.
Like
I guess it's been about an
ago.
Hour.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Oh,
no, because at like 8:30, I was on the phone with DirecTV.
Oh yeah, it was an hour ago. Maybe an hour and 15 minutes ago. Something like that.
But dinner was good.
It was. We need to cook out for dinner. Thank you very much for buying me dinner. I appreciate that. And making me a grilled cheese earlier.
Anytime.
That was a lot
of fun.
Awesome. Awesome.
That was a lot.
We've got a stacked show today. I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I'm good, you know.
I'm excited.
We got Supernatural News, which is one of my favorite shows, but we're also going to have Heather Moore from Fairy Plantation coming on to talk about the Farrakhan, as I like to call it, or Farrakhan, which isn't what they really call it. I just made that name up, but it did sound like it's a Farrakhan about fairies. Farrakhan at Fairy Plantation. I mean, but it's not about like fairies with wings. It's all about fairies, like the boats and people who love fairies. And they all come and have tables, and have little miniature fairies set up on their tables. That will be a money maker right there. She needs to write this shit down.
Oh yeah.
Fairy Con at Fairy Plantation. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the Paracon at Fairy Plantation, which is going to be a lot of fun. I think. I'd like to remind I know it's gonna be a lot of fun. It's because I think she may be on the line, but I need if she's there, if Heather, if you're on this, press once, I'll know it's you. Yeah, it sounds like to me it's gonna be a lot of fun. Unfortunately,
yeah,
we're not gonna be able to make it.
I know,
because
so
we'll be. Yeah, we'll be setting up the the cabin for the world's largest ghost hunt, but I'd like to welcome on Heather Moore from Fairy Plantation. Hello.
Hello and good evening.
Hey.
And how are you?
Good. Two of my favorite people. How are you guys?
I know. You're one of my most favorite people, too.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm very excited to be talking to you tonight about the Fairy Plantation Paracon. It's gonna be.
I like
a lot
the
of fun.
Thing. We actually have been trying to get them for years in June, like around the summer solstice, to do like a whole theme on fairies and kind of like the Midsummer's Eve and doing stuff. So I don't know, maybe.
Well, I was talking about the boats. Have people who love fairies, F-E-R-R-Y, come down and just talk about fairies.
Play on words.
You know that's going to be a money maker. Huh? Huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Not.
Like,
I don't think there's too many more people interested in that, but we'll work on that. I'll do some research on that, Ryan, okay?
Yeah, okay. It's a money maker, I'm telling you. So,
Well, anytime you want to do something in June, you know I'm all for it because I was privileged enough to spend my birthday at Fairy Plantation this year, and it was amazing. So,
I definitely
wouldn't mind going back.
Well, let's just have a party for Angie then. So,
I'm down for that.
Anything you do in June will be for Angie's birthday. It doesn't matter what day it is. What day in June it is?
Exactly.
Like, oh, that's my birthday.
I'm glad Ryan's finally getting it. It's the month of Angie.
Angie.
There's a lot of fun packed into that tiny person.
You're fun size.
You just someday.
She is fun size. Oh, goodness.
So how's your trip to Australia before we get into the Fairy Plantation? Paracon, how
Australia
was your trip to Australia? Yeah.
Australia was fantastic. My partner that I went to go see in Australia is even more fantastic. And,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was very, very awesome. And we actually got to ghost hunt a little bit while we were there. We did some investigating. That was even more freaking awesome. So how can you get all?
Oh, wow.
Yay.
Where'd you go?
And not love when you have all those things together.
I was jealous when I saw the pictures, I must admit, because it looked so beautiful.
It was.
And you were
holding
exotic animals?
Yes, several times. It was It just, they have no complaints. And, you know, everybody before going over there is like, you're going to get eaten by something. You're going to die. It's the one country that's got more poisonous things in it than any place else in the whole world. So I actually hunted for things to, you know, we were always on the lookout. I found two spiders the entire month I was there, a daddy long legs and a garden orbed spider. So I was kind of disappointed. But since I've been home, I found all kinds of creepy things in my own house and a brown recluse in my bedroom. So maybe it's more dangerous for me to be home. I think I need to go back to Australia. In fact,
it's probably safer out there.
You know that's happening. You know that.
Yeah.
It has to.
Definitely.
Unfortunately, for some, I think a little sooner than later, but yeah.
No.
No, it's
well,
thing.
Yay for you, boo
for
thing. Us.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I see it. Yay for you, boo for us.
Yeah, that's definitely true. So who's going to be at this Paracon coming up? This is a pretty big deal down there.
It is. Things are kind of taking a little bit of a turn, but, you know, Spirit kind of leads you in that direction, and I think that's a good thing. We are going to be packed, and we're doing things. We're just kind of mixing it up a little different this year. My main speaker this year is going to be Mike Rixdecker. He's the historian.
He's awesome.
Mike is awesome guy. He's written several books. I think he's got a new one, and I think he might be bringing one of his partners from his radio show, Vanessa. I think he might be bringing one of her books. We're trying to talk him in. They do the Haunted Road Media thing, and Mike's always very interesting to talk to. And we're also participating in the world's largest ghost hunt that night.
Yay.
I think we're going to have Mike with us that night also. So I'm looking forward to that. He was picking up on a lot of things, but I had another investigation kind of going along simultaneously with that. So I think it's just going to be a small in-house thing this time. So I'm looking forward to that. I have a lot of speakers coming to talk about meditation, spiritualism, kind of. They go more hand in hand than you think. And I've learned that the longer I've been in this, working with fairy and working with the paranormal. Sometimes I didn't think that the two of them went along very well, but I'm kind of learning that they kind of are. Got a lot of vendors this time. The paranormal group that I investigate with sometimes as a guest. We got called into a tattoo parlor. The guy owns two cities that are local that had issues, and at first they were really trying to keep it on the down low till we experienced all the same things that they did, so they weren't so scared to speak up because the things were happening while they're actually having customers during the day, kind of a thing.
Oh, wow.
And they're actually coming out to Paracon, so they're kind of they're bringing their tattoo bus and kind of doing some flash that has things to do with fairy and the paranormal. So they're all super excited about being involved with that. That's the blue horseshoe. World famous blue horseshoe tattoo.
I'm super set up for that, by the way.
There's two halves of the day, Ange.
Yeah, I know, right?
Because it's from 10 a.m. to 6. Still have time to get back to the cabin.
I mean, and a fresh tattoo, it never hurts anything.
Right? That's true. I've always wanted to get a tattoo of fairy plantation on me.
Hey, it doesn't have to be a fairy plantation.
No, it doesn't have to be a fairy.
See? All right, sorry. Go ahead. Everyone who knows me knows I'm addicted to tattoos. It's sad.
Do you have a tattoo of Horny yet?
Not yet. I see.
I
think
one.
That's a great idea. He was talking about getting one across his chest. I think it's. Oh, see, I'm all about that.
I'm
gonna
get a horny tramp stamp right above my ass. That'll make you proud to be my girlfriend, Angie. Yes. A butterfly or a dolphin. That's
Sometimes he does.
Yeah, I don't
want to.
I don't rhyme. Yeah.
Huh? Oh, man. I know our dentist is going to come down there and to help.
Sorry?
He's going to speak.
I'm sorry? I didn't hear you.
Her dentist is going to come down to speak, right?
He said he was going to, so I'm hoping that he'll be able to come down probably early. I've got Brad Bradley of CPRI. He always touches the more scientific side of it, so I'm trying to hit all the spectrums of the of spiritualism, paranormal. You know, it's just there's a huge umbrella that hits a huge gamut of different things. So. We've got a couple other authors that are going to be there. One that writes ghost stories in fiction, kind of, you know, loosely going around paranormal themes.
Oh, I'm glad I called you my
like
ghost
that. We've got the team from Jeff Santos over in Virginia Paranormal Investigations. He's come out to help us a few times with our Friday night fights and other things, just as your team came out and did over the summer, which really had such a good response. You guys are welcome to come anytime. We'd love to have you back.
Thank you.
I'd love to come back.
Yes, you do. So
I'd like to come. I'd like to come back and do a full investigation because I'm writing an article on Fairy for the December issue of Living Paranormal Magazine.
Well,
so I
then
need to come
I guess
back
you need
there
to come
and
back between now and
I
then,
I think
huh?
I do. I will. Maybe not this Saturday, but I'll definitely be out there do that.
This is when it picks up, and I know the cliche, you know, the veil is much thinner between now and October, but for that house, that really, really holds true. Not to go into a lot of detail because it was a really incredible experience that we had, but last Halloween, I guess there was about 15 or 20 of us that all experienced the same thing in the best parlor. It was one of the most intense paranormal encounters I've ever had, in a good way, but it was just amazing, and it just the spirit was definitely strong, both with the people in the house, and we had some other visitors that were there at the time, and it was just absolutely phenomenal. So yeah, definitely we'll get together and check schedules. Come experience that.
Yay.
Yeah. Well, I definitely would love that. Do you guys have a investigation on Halloween every year, or is it just you guys hanging out?
Usually we have like a school of lost souls. There, and it's usually Halloween's like Tuesday or Wednesday this year.
Yeah, it's
so
the middle
still,
of the week.
We're gonna have people at the house. I think we might just have a small group there on Halloween to kind of stay over and be in the house. I don't know what your schedule is. You're more than welcome to both of you to come and join us. The weekend before this year is supposed to be the Kling brothers, Brad and Barry Kling of Everyday Paranormal. They were on the Discovery Channel's Ghost Lab, and they're doing a full weekend investigation. And I think they still have a couple of spots open for that. They've got a separate Friday and Saturday, and then they've got a grouping that covers both nights. So I think it's 60 per night or 99 for both nights. But there's information on that on Fairy Plantation both on the Facebook and Virginia Paracon at Fairy Plantation website. Or you can always call me. Or if you look up Fairy, my phone number's plastered all over that. So
$99 isn't bad.
Not at all.
The Kling brothers.
So I'm actually looking forward to them. I like their style of investigating. You know, they kind of do a little bit of scientific stuff. They're always trying new things, but, you know, they're such a cohesive group and they have fun. And I've just noticed from all the groups that have been in, the ones that can be lighthearted and, you know, kind of relax around things and really have a, you know, good flow and good energy with them around, just mm-hmm. always have the best time, and spirit just is attracted to that. I mean, just like, you know, personalities that we have now. And so I have so much fun when I'm with you and Ange. You know, you guys have great personality, and we just relax, and, you know, it's just, you have more
a
fun.
A great time. Yeah.
That's right. So I'm looking forward to it this year, not putting as much pressure, but we do have some great speakers lined up and covering a bunch of different topics. Unfortunately, I'm not going to have Pat O'Keefe this year, who I usually do. She was really upset, but she's got a new grandbaby on the way, and some issues at work, so she's afraid to not be so close to home right now, but we keep your ears open because she's planning something, two huge special events at Ferry coming up, are in the works about that we're both very excited about, so we'll be announcing something soon with that.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's awesome.
But we've just been super, super busy. And Ferry is booked every weekend between now and the middle of November, and I still have some people calling me to get dates. So,
well, that's a blessing.
You won't lose me to Australia for the next 2 months at least.
Yay!
Okay, good.
Yay for us, boo for you.
I'm chained to the Ferry at the moment.
Oh,
well, that's
well,
not
let's
a bad
hope,
place
the,
to be
let's chained. Hope the chain stays tighter and you know you don't go anywhere. So, what's the parking going to
be
like?
It's
going to
be a lot of air miles in between. a lot of back and forth. Yeah.
So, if someone wants to go down to the Ferry Plantation for the Paracon, is there? Where's the parking? How much does it cost to get in?
Paracon is going to be from 10 a.m. So it's this Saturday, September 30th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. The admission is $10. You can come and go all day with that. So if you show up at 10 and hang out for a couple hours and decide you want to go out and, head to the beach or something and come back. If you want to see, I'll have a list. I'll be putting up. I'm trying to get the speakers in order because they keep rearranging stuff on me, or I would have told you tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll have that posted, the list of the speakers and their topics of what they've got going. So if you want to come and go, that'll get you in for all day and give you a tour of the house. I've got a ton of mediums that are going to be there. That's always heavily requested. That keeps stuff busy. We also have our chef Skip. It's a food truck out there, but his food is just phenomenal. I don't know how you can get 5-star restaurant quality in a truck, but they have managed to do that. And I've been working with them for the last couple years, and they're just as consistent as they were the first day. Out now, so that guy's been great. We will have parking up towards the house. We also should be having another shuttle service like we have worked on last month, which there's a shopping center that's close by that you actually have to pass to get in. And that way, if we need to drop people off or whatever at the house and have handicap parking up close. But we've got a couple things implemented, because I know it can be tight. We have a parking lot, but it's still small, but I think we've got some stuff worked out. But it's all trial and error.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know, you have these things like Paracon and stuff like that, and you figure out what works and what doesn't, and, you know, you go from there. I've always heard great things about the Ferry Plantation Paracon. I was really excited about going out there, but I'm like, man, we have the world's largest ghost hunt at the cabin. We have a bunch of people coming out there. We got some work we have to do out there.
Obligation. I get that. So, but next year. Next year.
Yeah, definitely next year. We'll definitely be there. For sure.
Absolutely.
mark us down for that. But I want to thank you for coming on and talking to us tonight. You guys, if you want to find something fun to do this weekend and you're in the Virginia Beach area or shit, just get in your car and drive down there. You know, come down to Ferry Plantation. Check out their Paracon.
You won't be sorry.
Close to the beach. I know. So we got everything that you need.
Exactly.
Right, thank you so much for having me on again tonight. I really appreciate it and hope to get to hang with you guys both soon.
Yes, please.
Well, hopefully you come up here and see
us
soon.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Bye.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Well, that was fun.
That was
always
fun.
Good to
I
talk
love
to
Heather.
Heather.
It is. She's so nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. When we went for my birthday to Ferry Plantation, I really did have the best time. I mean, you know, some things barring, like it was a little bit with trying, but it was a great experience.
I mean, it was a Ryan and Angie adventure. Of course it was. Of course
yeah.
It was.
Everything we do
fun.
Is interesting, to say the least.
Yes. Yeah, we do have fun.
We do.
Together.
So many adventures.
I'm checking out the promo for St. Albans Sanatorium's Mayhem of Manor. Or Mayhem Manor.
Ooh.
Mayhem Manor. That's the name of their haunted house, which goes from September 29th, which is the Saturday, until November 4th, which is the first week in November. And what's going to happen a week after that? Oh, yes. We will be there. The Vibe Radio Network, network will be
yes,
there.
Yes, we will.
The first investigation after the haunted house.
So things are going to be stirred up nicely, right?
Yes. Hopefully there will be a lot of energy stirred up in that place. That's why I booked that date. Because I'm like, you know what? That's going to be all off the chain as far as haunting and not watch nothing happen just because I said that.
Yeah, Murphy's Law right there.
Yes, exactly. I just ruined the investigation. Sorry, guys.
Dang it.
Might as well just not even buy tickets. Just kidding. You really should buy tickets for it.
Yeah, bite your tongue. Because, you know, at the very least, they'll get to see us and everybody else from the Vibe Network, and we're all awesome people. Like,
yes,
we're worth coming
awesome
for.
We are awesome people. We are worth coming for. Who cares about ghosts anyways? Just kidding. I care about ghosts.
I mean,
but
we can talk about ghosts all day long.
Well, we can. We can talk about the world's largest ghost hunt, which we're now trying to register our team for the live stream. I didn't know how this thing's
supposed
to work.
Oh, so we're
going to
do that?
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean,
if anybody really cares about being part of the live stream.
I mean,
stream,
I'm sure they care, but
I mean,
be a
I
fun
got
experience.
This email, and I'm glad I checked it because I got this email saying this is your last chance to register for the live stream. I'm like, oh shit, maybe I should do that.
Well, you know, you could do your Facebook Live videos, and then I could do – can you live – like, can I do it on my phone since I have the unlimited data? So,
I hope
like,
so,
I could stream,
because, I mean,
yeah,
I
could stream that.
I don't have – yeah. I mean, I don't have, like, fancy equipment to live stream with. I mean, my fancy equipment is my iPhone. That's my fancy equipment I have here.
I mean –
and there are lots
yeah,
of
my fancy equipment is your phone.
You've got you're more fancy phone than I do. You've got the 7. I only have the 6.
Uh-oh.
So you're the one with the fancy pants equipment.
Oh, there we go. I'm going to have to – oh, I did. I think I downloaded another app.
I mean, honestly, I just want to investigate. I don't care about it. I mean, I care about it. I shouldn't say that. I do care about it. It's just,
I think it's definitely a
I
unique concept. Like, everybody coming together.
I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
I mean,
it seems hard.
Is there a page where people can watch this stuff? I mean, where are people going to watch it? Or do we
and
hashtag it?
And how do people
it?
Find out about it? Yeah. Do we just? I mean, I don't know. There's so many questions.
It's a little answers right now.
Right.
I think it's JackFin77.
But see, here's the only thing that people need to know. Come out, and it's going to be a great time. And the money's going to go to a great cause.
Oh, man, we missed the...
It doesn't matter. Anytime.
The training demonstration. There was a online training demonstration on how to use an on-stream live stream. Well, shit, I missed the training demonstration. I'm just going to live stream my fucking... Just gonna live stream it and hashtag world's largest ghost hunt and just do that. Because apparently,
well, there you go.
See how we're talking? Like, we're on a regular conversation now. Forgot we're on the radio. I mean, we could be having a different conversation altogether if we're getting around the radio, but we'll save that for the R rated show.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you want to start with some
training demonstration? Yeah, I'm just. I guess we should.
While
do
you're
that.
Looking at that, I could. Well, while you're looking at that, I could read an article.
Read that article.
Because, yeah, believe it or not, I found several.
Believe
I'm just
it or
not,
not
actually,
you found several articles.
So, we had some weird things at the cabin this evening, and you know the cabin is filled with weird and creepy dolls. Well, apparently, like, haunted dolls are a really hot collector's item. Who would have thought, right? So here's an article about it, right? This is from the Weird News on the HuffPost. And it says, for some people, it's not enough for a doll to talk, walk, or wet itself. It also has to be possessed. It seems sales of haunted dolls are making a killing on eBay, such as one listing for a nasty, and this is in quotation marks, a nasty, perverse, possessed doll that attracted a final bid of $1,526, according to Vibe.com. The original eBay ad claimed that the doll gave off nasty vibes and was sexually abusive to the other dolls in the owner's collection. Could you imagine that? Amazingly, claims like that are selling points to haunted doll collectors. According to Jack Hutch, who wrote the Vice.com piece, some people want to connect solely with the spirit, Hutchcraft told NPR.org. Some people buy them just for the doll because they're doll collectors, and the spirited aspect of it is just a secondary thing. I thought it was baffling, really, because I can look past the ghost as long as it's a cute doll. Corrine Reddick, haunted doll lover. What?
How does one know that a doll has been sexually abused?
I don't know.
Were the panties down on the ankles or something?
Yeah, right? Not like I want to see, like, scary doll porn, but, like, I'd need proof of that. Like,
there's got to be a market for that somewhere. Scary doll porn.
Yeah, scary doll porn. Yeah.
That's where we watch to spice up our love life.
Scary doll porn.
Get the dolls ready, baby.
There you go. They're
scary
coming.
Scary doll porn.
Reddick purchased her first haunted doll, and its name is Mystical, back in 2010 for around $15. The doll wasn't advertised as possessed, but she said she quickly figured out that it was. When she arrived, I realized straight away she was not a doll, she was a person, Reddick told the Daily Mail. That night, I put her near the television. I told her, if you're happy, switch it off. If you're not happy, leave it. The response was terrifying. She said the TV switched off and on, and the lights flickered, and I knew it was Mystical talking to me through the electricity. She told me she was happy to have been adopted by me. I was overwhelmed and had to put her away. Reddick claims she tried the same process. Go ahead.
I mean, she just said she was happy that she was being adopted by her. She'd be like, okay, cool. Awesome.
I know. Then she puts her in the closet.
Happy.
Thanks for talking
exactly.
to me. Go away now.
I know, right?
She did exactly what you asked. And then I bet the doll felt like she was being punished, like put in the closet.
What? Exactly. It's probably like, you know, what the hell did I say? A mystical, that's not
Reddit
like a stripper's name, though.
She tried the same process a week later. Okay, so yet again, apparently Reddick talked to her doll again, and the doll told her through the TV that she had died when she was 103.
Wow.
I cannot believe that someone would pay $1,500 for a doll just because they think it's haunted.
And can talk to you through the television. That's freaky.
That is freaky.
I mean, I don't even know. I guess they have some kind of certification, maybe, to prove that a doll is haunted. But, I mean, I'd have to have some shit levitating in my house to pay $1,000 for it. And she better be, like, you know, to come out on command. Like, get like the doll just starts walking because it's a... Because the woman's just possessing the doll and can walk around and talk and stuff. Because $1,000 is a lot of money for a chance that,
that
a doll might be haunted.
It was over $1,000. Like, yeah. It would have to come with, like, a broom and sweep my kitchen. Like, that would have to be its power.
Mm-hmm.
Like, clean
it'd
it up
like
after
to
pay $1,500.
Yeah, it's like me trying to sell one of the dolls at the cabin. So, yeah, this doll is haunted. So, I mean, anybody can say anything about it. Anybody can say that it's haunted. I've have EVPs. You know, it's easy. It's the sad part is it's easy to fake that kind of stuff. You know, it's easy to say, yeah, this such and such is haunted, and people will snap that up.
Well, so apparently eBay, or actually one eBay seller called The Haunted Store, with the mass quantity of haunted items that are being sold now, they felt obligated to offer
mm-hmm.
tips to potential paranormal buyers. And these were some of their tips.
Oh, good.
Number one, do not purchase any haunted items unless you are willing and able to deal with the consequences it may bring into your life. Valid point. Number two, never buy a haunted item without some sort of documentation with it. Okay, so I guess maybe it does come with the documentation of haunted authenticity. Say it. I can't say the word.
Authenticity, maybe?
Yeah, that word. Number three, be leery of sellers with mass amounts of haunted items. Even if someone claimed that they found 100 dolls that are all haunted in an attic, it would still be doubtful that all 100 dolls were haunted. So, yeah, use your judgment. Don't be dumb.
So, don't buy dolls from Bob's Haunted Doll Emporium. Just saying.
Right. All the haunted dolls. All the dolls.
Exactly. They all must, everything must go.
I just thought that was neat with all the dolls that we have at the cabin.
Mm-hmm. I mean, shit. I mean, according to Rhonda, some of the dolls do have attachments to them.
I know. A couple of them feel really creepy. And what about, happened when we walked into the cabin today? Like, the doll was laying down, the poster was laying down. Like, that was creepy.
Mm-hmm. That was creepy.
Maybe the
black light being caught on by itself?
Yeah. Yeah. The ghost coming on tonight? Like, that was just, there's creepy stuff.
That was weird. And we were nowhere near the ghost when we, well, let's set the stage for you guys. Right. Okay, we're in the cabin, and on the mantle of the brick of the cabin, above the fireplace, we have a bunch of, like, Civil War artifacts and some little miniature figures and a ghost, little Dollar Tree ghost we bought to decorate the house. It's motion censored, all right? But you really got to get, like,
up.
Really – yeah, it makes this weird kind of – this kind of loud noise. Yeah, exactly. And it's, whoa, I can't even do it because it's, you know,
yeah,
I can't
really
do it.
Annoying.
It's annoying. But really,
yeah.
If I try doing it. but you have to really have to get close to it and put your hand like right in front of the sensor for it to work. And we tried walking by it like four or five times, and so back, you know, close as we can get to it, jumping up and down. And we couldn't get to go off. What happened was we were walking out the door to leave the cabin. All of a sudden, it cuts on by itself. And then, you know, we tried to replicate what happened. We couldn't figure it out.
Because Kimmy had jumped on the floor. So we were, like, pretty certain, or I was pretty certain that maybe when she jumped, the vibration, like, activated the motion sensor. But I swear, my daughter, who was not a small child, like, jumped up and down on the floor. Ryan walked back and forth and it, and we could not get it to do it again. It was, and plus we had been there how much that night, like at least for 45 minutes we'd been in that cabin walking around.
I mean even then
we've had that ghost.
Well, I did turn it off because I remember cutting it on last Thursday and it being really annoying, so I cut it off. And then I cut the witch on just to see what it sounded like. But I do remember cutting it off. But we've had that ghost since August. Before an event we had in August, the first time I saw Halloween decorations in the Dollar Tree, I bought the ghost. And we've had like two big investigations. We've had, I don't know, how many 360 Thursdays there, and people have
so
walked
many.
By it. Now, I mean, granted, it probably wasn't cut on at the time, but I do remember cutting it off. I distinctly remember cutting the ghost off and then going and turning on the witch, which sounds like a monkey, honestly.
Yeah,
when
it
you
does.
Cut it on.
It really does.
But then, it's the same thing that happened with the black lights upstairs in the cabin. We cut those off and they cut back on again. But
and that
again,
was
there's
really
no way
weird
you can
too.
Prove it. You know, even
and
if
not
it's
only
dull,
did they cut
they...
on once, but the next day when I went back there, I went back into the room just to check and see, or I can't even remember why I went up there. And the one on the left was turned off. So I walked over, I noticed the skeleton had fallen off the little window. So I went over and picked it up. And when I turned around, the one on the right was on. Like, I don't know when it came on, how long it had been on, because it was daylight, so it didn't light up the room. So not only did the black lights cut themselves on once, they did it twice, or at least one of them did.
Mm-hmm.
Just some interesting stuff going on there recently.
Yeah, a lot of cool personal experiences. That, you know, unless I had taken a picture of the doll, and I mean, it's hard for me to prove that it fell off and we didn't knock it down by accident, because I don't really remember what happened Thursday. I'm pretty sure we didn't knock into the table, but
no, and we would have heard it if it fell.
Yeah, it fell over in a weird position too. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And trust me, I'm the first one to look for a logical reason. Like, that's why when you were given all the rules for this world's largest ghost hunt, I was like, I can be the scientist, because I will accept paranormal as an answer, but after I've ruled out everything that's not paranormal.
Girl, I can't think of a reason for the doll and the picture and the tablecloth to be bunched up, to be in that, just be in that position that we found them in.
With no one having entered the cabin since we left that night.
Yeah. And I tried knocking into the table with my legs. Like, well, maybe, because I remember going back into the cabin and we were turning the lights off, and I thinking maybe I bumped into the table with my legs. So I tried bumping into it and stuff. And even then, yeah, I knocked it all over, but it didn't really mess up the tablecloth.
The sign. Well, the sign was kind of tucked up into the blind, I also noticed, too, when we were leaving Thursday. And the doll's head was kind of into the blind, too. So, I mean, like you said, I can think of many reasons how it could have happened. I just can't see how they could have happened, because no one was there. Like, that tablecloth looked like it had been pulled from the bottom or either on the side and just moved everything with it. And the doll was at an angle where it could not, I mean, it's hard for it to logically fall that way. So.
I mean, if there's a way for us to put like 24-hour, 24/7 surveillance in that place and see what happens, that would be awesome. I mean, just the other day, we took a video with my little Sony Handycam camera, just walking out into the woods, and we caught something that was really weird. I thought it was weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
You know?
Yeah.
It was we were in the middle of the backwoods, and it was me, Angie, and a few friends of ours who were out there, and we caught this with what looks to me like be like an anomaly. It floats in, floats out, then floats
and
back in again.
When we say float, like it would have to be like the slowest moving bug ever, like. And it's not it doesn't look like a spider to where it would be coming down from a web, because the pattern that it goes in isn't, you know, like it would be a spider. But if it's a bug, it would have to be a very slow moving bug. I'd really like to watch it in slow motion to kind of see it as well.
Yeah.
But it was very interesting to say the least.
Yeah, we can check it out.
Very
On Thursday. But let's talk about some more paranormal news. That's what you guys have come here for. Again, sometimes we just like to shoot the shit. Whenever we talk
well,
on
that's
the phone
what,
during
that's
this,
what's fun
during
about,
the show.
You know, that's what's fun about
yeah.
paranormal news is we were just giving paranormal news, but it's stuff that we experience. So here's
hey,
the news.
You know,
come to the cabin.
Exactly. You want to have some good paranormal news, come to the freaking awesome cabin, the cabin on 360. And you know what?
The freaking
you know,
awesome
I'm under the weather.
Cabin.
Exactly. I'm not feeling good. So I'm
no,
out here.
You're not.
I'm out here for you, doing this for my freaks, coming out here
every week,
doing my show for you guys. My one or two listeners, or our one or two listeners.
Hey,
oh,
I'm proud of those
here.
Listeners.
Thank you. I'm doing this for you guys. What is the Black Monk of Pontefract? Why is it considered the most
Ooh.
Violent haunting in Britain? And why was it in the news? Decades before the Enfield haunting crept into the nightmares of adults and children across the country, a family was terrorized by Europe's most violent haunting. Number 30 East Drive on Chequersfield Estate, East Yorkshire, became home to the infamous Black Monk of Pontefract. We reveal all. What is the Black Monk of Pontefract? Jean and Joe Pritchard moved into the unassuming house with their son Philip and daughter Diane in 1966. But the same year, the family became disturbed by paranormal activity happening in their home. Water pools formed, lights turned off and on again, furniture overturned, pictures were slashed, objects levitated or disappeared, foul smells traveled through the house, and heavy breathing sounds were heard by the terrified family. The spooky goings-on were coupled with a mysterious black-robed figure whose appearances became more and more frequent. Joe and Jean were the first in their family to come face-to-face with a spirit, a terrifying cloaked shadow floating over their bed. The spirit almost appeared to be dressed in a monk's robes, and the description stuck. The entity would soon be witnessed by the entire Pritchard family as well as a handful of paranormal investigators. What else happened? The police, a local MP, and the vicar were all there to witness the extraordinary happenings that continued to plague the household. Despite numerous exorcisms and ghost hunters attending the property, nothing could make the ghost leave. Paranormal investigator Tom Cunniff spent many years researching the strange case and discovered that the town's gallows had been situated directly across the street. Pinpointing it further to the Black Monk, a Cluniac monk who was hung for the rape and murder of a young girl. The murdered girl would have been a similar age to Diane, who was the focus of the spirit's attentions. Cunniff believed that the entity haunting the family was the Black Monk himself. Haunting at East 30 at 30 East Drive was the subject of the 2012 horror movie When the Lights Went Out, and was investigated for their Halloween special of Most Haunted Live in 2015. The house remains open for bookings, though Ouija boards and exorcisms are banned on the property. The story has captured the attention of the press again, as an apparent photo of the monk was captured last year. A ghost hunter claimed to have snapped the clearest photo yet of the infamous phantom. The paranormal investigator says the picture shows the arm of a ghostly figure in a monk's robe clutching rosary beads. Earlier this year, Peter Bolton and Rob Hughes from Ghost Inspectors Paranormal Group snapped an eerie face in a black hooded robe staring out of a mirror at the bottom of the stairs. Mama Four Claire, a researcher for the East Drive Paranormal Group, claims her photo is the most definitive proof the black monk still haunts the building. The 44-year-old from Pontefract said, "I've been in 30 East Drive a few times, and this particular night, the equipment had been quite active. We had sea marbles thrown, and we kept hearing taps and bangs. The arm you can see in the photo is not a solid form. It looks like mist, and is very strange, but you can see the sleeve of a rope hanging down. There is something which looks like rosary beads in his hand dangling down." She had sent the photo to a friend in America without giving her any information about where it was taken or the history of the house, and without knowing anything, she straightaway said it looked like an arm of a monk. The monk, black monk of Pontefract.
Pontefract. Well, I have an interesting one. How would you like to live on the moon?
That sounds like fun.
You think so? I don't know if I could do it. But this article from unexplainedmysteries.com is saying that 100 people could be living on the moon by 2014. It's a short one. So ESA's ambitious moon village plan could see humans living on the lunar surface within 25 years. Speaking at the European Planetary Science Congress in, is it RIGA, R-I-G-A, RIGA, this week, Moon Village, which already has an ambassador, and his name is Bernard Foeing, outlines how creating a permanent settlement on the moon is not only viable, but something that could be genuinely achieved over the next few decades. By 2030, he proposed, mankind could have established a lunar settlement of between 6 and 10 pioneers made up of scientists, technicians, and engineers. Within the following decade, the population of the colony would increase to around 100 people, and by 2050, it will have grown exponentially with over 1,000 people living and working on the moon. Unfortunately, however, while there is a great deal of interest in the project among scientists and entrepreneurs, politicians have so far been hesitant to commit. One of the biggest problems, as always, is money, meaning that any attempt to elicit funding for such an ambitious project may hinge on whether such an endeavor has long-term financial potential. It is highly frustrating, said physicist Vidvads Beldavis of the University of Latvia. We still don't have the top leaders interested. And then it shows a picture of what the projected, or it gives a little video about the projected moon village. I mean, I don't think I can live on the moon. Like, what would your currency be? Like, moon bucks? Star dollars?
Well, I think I would...
Like, because you couldn't have credit cards.
No, I mean, I guess I would have to... I would have to visit the moon, not live there. It's just like those people want to colonize Mars and shit.
Yeah, it's a nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there.
No. I guess it would be rough. The people who founded America, but even then they had help. had the Native Americans when they weren't, you know, when they weren't fighting with us.
Yeah, I was going to say,
we
they really didn't find America. Yeah, they didn't find America
or
they colonized America.
They discovered it for, they discovered that it was for the rest of the Europe.
Yeah,
I mean, shit, it's not like people in England knew that was there before they went over there.
No,
but,
no, they didn't.
Yeah, so there you go. But I don't think I'd want to live on the moon. But,
no,
you know, why
no,
would you want to live on the moon when you have some creepy-ass places here on Earth to visit? I'm sure there's creepy places on the moon. But there are creepy places here on Earth that I haven't gone to yet. So before I move to the moon, I need to visit these places. The
That's
six
right.
creepy
I have
places
a list.
On Earth.
Yes.
Number
and
six.
And we're
going
to go to all six of them, right?
Yeah, sure. Aokigahara Forest. The Aokigahara Forest in Japan. The,
you don't have to go there.
Aokigahara Forest, the AK Forest is what I'm going to call it, is a woodland at the base of Mount Fuji in Japan that makes the Blair Witch Project look like Winnie the Pooh's 100-acre wood. It probably has something to do with all the dead bodies scattered around. What Niagara Falls is to weddings, the AK Forest, is a suicide. How many suicides does it take for a place to get that reputation? A dozen to 50? More than 500 fucking people have taken their own lives in AK since the 1950s. The trend has supposedly started after Seicho Sumoto published his novel Kuroi Kaiju, The Black Sea of Trees, where two of his characters commit suicide there. After that, always eager to prove they are bizarrely susceptible to suggestion, hundreds of Japanese people have hanged themselves among the countless trees of the AK Forest, which is reportedly so thick that even in high noon, it's hard to find places completely surrounded by darkness. Hard not to find places frequently. Completely surrounded by darkness. Besides bodies and homemade nooses, the area is littered with signs displaying such uplifting messages like "Precious life is a precious thing, please reconsider or think of your family." Scroll up a little bit. In the 1970s, the problem got national attention and the Japanese government began doing annual sweeps of the forest in search of bodies. In 2002, they found 78, but who knows how many they missed. In all likelihood, there probably is a hanged person somewhere in the AK on any given day. You can see some of them here. You can actually see some of the pictures, but I don't need to look at that. By the way, there's an extra link for it. You can click on it if you want to see them. By the way, entire dark forest of hanged bodies wasn't bad enough. Years ago, some people noticed that a lot of the dead in AK probably had cash or jewelry on them. Thus began the proud Japanese tradition of AK scavenging, where dead people are running around the death forest looking for dead guys to loot. Next is the Overton Bridge. Located number 5, Overton Bridge. Located near Scotland's charming little village of Milton in the peaceful borough of Dumbarton, the Overton, actually I'm going to send you a link on your Facebook page so you can help read it, because this is a long article.
Okay.
All right.
You know, I like it.
I'm on number 5 now. I'll let you do number 4.
All right.
Let's see.
Let me get to my Facebook.
Paste it. This is, we're professionals here, guys.
Right. We use Facebook, all the tools.
Exactly. There it is. Should be on your page.
All right. If you guys are Facebook friends, look us up.
Scotland's charming little village of Milton in the peaceful burg of Dumbarton, the Overton Bridge is local arch construction where no human beings have ever died in any suspicious circumstances whatsoever over the last few decades. However, during that span, for reasons we can't begin to possibly understand, hundreds of dogs have killed themselves there. It appears that dogs have been plunging off of Overton since the early 1960s at a rate of one animal a month, bringing the number of bringing the total number of the day to around 600 mutts, who for some reason decided to end it all. And we're not talking about a series of unfortunate accidents that could have been avoided with a simple guardrail. People who, what is that noise?
Probably me clicking because my internet just went down.
People who actually witnessed the reported dogs, sounds like heavy breathing. People who actually witnessed the reported dogs willingly climbing the parapet wall and leaping to their doom with dumbass doggy grins on their faces. Whether they were crying blood remains to be confirmed. Theories why this happened, why this is happening, have been all over the place, from particularly aromatic rodents to a simple stream of bizarre coincidences. We call bullshit on both seeing as, to paraphrase Ian Fleming, once is happenstance, twice is coincidence, three times is enemy action, and over 600 is clearly the work of an ancient Sumerian demon or some shit. To further the point home, it has been observed that certain dogs that jumped off the bridge and survived fucking climbed back up and threw themselves to their deaths all over again. Because the great Overton's demon's hunger will not be appeased with tries, he demands fresh canine blood and lots of it. Are you ready?
Yes, it's loading right this second. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the dogs. All right, six creepiest places on Earth. And where are we at?
You're number four. This is one.
Number
I'm actually glad
four.
That you get to read this one. This is your favorite place that you want to go visit.
Oh, is it the Winchester Mansion? Oh,
that's right.
It's the Winchester Mansion. I'm so excited. I was just talking about this at work the other night. Yeah, a couple of the people were very surprised that I do what I do. And I was like, because they were talking about the Amityville Horror place. And I was like, nope, that's not creepy. You want to know a place that's creepy? The Winchester Mansion.
I don't even think that's that creepy, to be honest with you.
What, the Winchester Mansion? I don't think it's creepy. It's just unusual. Like, I have a feeling when I walk in there, I'm just going to, because I get weird feelings looking at the pictures. So I think it's just going to be, when we go, it's going to be a very interesting experience.
Oh, yeah.
What? Oh, it's we're getting ready to read about it. You can listen. Oh, my gosh, this is really starting to aggravate me.
What?
The computer is acting crazy.
Do you
want to
hear it? That's Kimmy in the background.
That's
talking.
My beautiful daughter. All right. Five. Yeah, do you see this?
Yeah.
All right, the Winchester Mystery House. In San Jose, there's this house. It is a gigantic 160-room complex designed like a maze with modern hallways, secret passages, dead ends, doors open.
You're breaking up really bad.
Scoot over to me. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Is that better? Okay. So it has mile-long hallways, secret passages, dead ends, doors opening to blank walls, and staircases leading to ceilings. Please don't do that.
Did they hear that they're making like young Sheldon?
It's the work. It's the work of Sarah Winchester, heiress to the Winchester rifle fortune. In the late 19th century, deeply saddened over the death of her husband and daughter, she visited a Boston medium who told her she was haunted by the spirits of all the victims of the Winchester rifles. She needed to make peace with them by always be building a house, as in never stop building a house or else she will die. What a nice thing to say to someone who has just lost her family. There's no way this could end with Sarah building a real-life version of the Addams Family household. But guess what?
It happened.
In 1884, Winchester started construction of her new San Jose mansion, which has gone on nonstop for 38 years, right until her death. Despite modern contractors talking about that much time to be put in, hold on. Despite modern contractors taking about that much time to put in the wooden paneling in your kitchen, the Winchester Mansion eventually grew so big you could, in all seriousness, get lost in it, which I'm looking forward to doing. And getting lost was the idea. The crazy twists and turns and dead ends were intended to confuse the ghost. Sarah was kind of a jerk like that.
Be a blamer.
But pissing off vengeful spirits was just one of many architectural choices for the mansion. The entire Winchester Mystery House was decorated with a constant spiderweb motif, which Sarah believed had some spiritual meaning, and everything from the hooks on the walls to the candle holders had been arranged around the number 13, supposedly for good luck. Yeah, for someone trying to free herself from ghosts, Winchester did everything but sacrifice a baby goat to Satan to assure her house will be haunted. Like I said, I can't wait to go there. And also, I have to tell you that there's a room that she called the Blue Room and is her seance room.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't, I'm going to be really sad if we don't get to go into that room when we go there.
Blue Room?
All right. Do you want to do number three? Okay.
I'll do number three. There's got to be a lot of spiritual energy in that house, I believe. I think that it'll be a lot of fun to visit and check out.
Absolutely.
Maybe investigate if we're allowed to do that. Number three is the Sedlick Ossuary. Remember when we said AK was the Niagara Falls of suicide? For centuries, the abbot in the small Czech town of Sedlick has been Niagara Falls for dead people, regardless of cause of death. Ever since someone sprinkled soil from the Holy Land on the local cemetery in the 13th century, people from all over Europe started demanding to be buried there, and the Sedlick graveyard kept growing until 1870. When the priests decided to finally do something about all those surplus bones lying around, something insane. Today, the Sedlick Ossuary is a chapel famous for being decorated with tons of thousands of human bones. This macabre style of interior design was the work of Czech wood carver František Rent, who, for some reason, was hired to organize the church's extensive skeleton collection. The results were huge mounds of human remains in the four corners of the chapel, a terrifying chandelier built from every bone in the human body, and a massive skull coat of arms adorning the entrance. We realize this is the Czech Republic and all, but it has been 27 years. Surely Poltergeist was released out there already, like maybe last year or something. Why are they still playing with human bones as if they were Satan's Lego blocks and making them sit through mass every single day for almost 140 years now? On the tempting fate scale, the only thing worse would be to start using some of the skulls as ceremonial mugs or chamber pots. At this point, does it really surprise anyone that the church became the inspiration for Dr. Satan's Lair in the Rob Zombie movie House of a Thousand Corpses?
No, you haven't seen that movie, have you?
What movie?
No, I have not, and we'll never see it.
it's very creepy.
Nope, that's good.
So, number two, San Zal Resort, and I'm probably butchering that, so pardon moi.
Sanji.
But it's S-A-N, it's San what?
Sanji.
Sanji. Okay, so Sanji Resort. What do you get when you cross a series of abandoned, rusting, futuristic UFO-shaped buildings with a series of mysterious deaths covered up by the government? How about the ghost town/tourist resort of Sanji? Located just outside of Taipei. And inside your worst nightmares. The exclusive Sanji Resort in Taiwan was supposed to be the destination for bored, rich folk who always wondered what it would be like to live inside an oversized hockey puck. Construction of Pod City started around the 80s, but was quickly shut down after a series of mysterious on-site fatal accidents. Or could it have been due to Godzilla attacks, for all we know? There is actually very little official information on Sanji. We can't even confirm how many people died there or if they screamed something about eyeless children eating their souls. The whole thing is shrouded in secrecy. Yeah, this building looks very, very strange. Like, it is very weird looking. I would definitely like to visit this place.
It's a messed up story.
wait a second. Abandoned resort town in the middle of nowhere. Mysterious death. Lack of any official information. Where have we seen this before? And this is probably yet another movie you haven't seen, but Silent Hill, which is, yeah, that's a good reference there, Silent Hill. But we also would have accepted in our nightmares.
Yes. Yes. The Family Feud version of Creepiest Places on Earth.
Yeah.
Survey says.
Number one.
Pripyat. Hey, a whole lot of you just got deja vu looking at the above picture, specifically those of you who have played Call of Duty 4, as there is an entire higher level that takes place there. If you thought the idea of a completely silent, abandoned, radioactive city was typical video game apocalyptic fantasy, you're wrong. Pripyat is in the northern Ukraine and once housed the workers and scientists of the Chernobyl nuclear plant. Founded in 1970s, it held as many as 50,000 people. Then 1986, according to a footnote in the official Soviet records, there was a small malfunction in the Chernobyl reactor. So for safety reasons, the city was evacuated. Just a small malfunction. And, the city, the Chernobyl incident, just a small.
Just an itty bitty, yeah. No, it's not like the whole
just something like, oh, yeah.
City was like, abandoned
evacuated. City. Yeah. Since then, Pripyat has been desolated, its buildings decaying, the giant Ferris wheel just sitting there all alone with nobody to ride it. The city actually had an entire amusement park for the families of the Chernobyl employees because when you're living next to a nuclear reactor, which was outdated by even by 1986 Soviet standards, the only thing on your mind is bumper cars.
Right.
The city is located in what is known as the Zone of Alienation, the 30-kilometer radius directly affected by the Chernobyl minor technical difficulty over 20 years ago. Despite that, Pripyat is now open to the public because the radiation levels have apparently went down significantly over the years. We guess we have a different view on radiation than the government of Ukraine. They obviously have a scale for it. Well, we consider any radiation a very bad thing. Aside from the inherent risk of getting hit by a radioactive snail and becoming the lamest superhero ever, there is another reason why you will never see us among the tourists occasionally visiting Pripyat. The fucking nursery. We told you this was a place for families, and you wouldn't know it. They have a nursery, which, according to certain claims, is currently paved with baby shoes and abandoned dolls. So
it's an abandoned
radioactive ghost Soviet baby amusement park. So that's the six most creepiest places on Earth.
That is. I would do one. I've got 13 of the creepiest haunted bars and restaurants in America, but I don't think we have time to do all 13 of them.
Probably not.
But that would be really cool.
Let's see. That would be really cool. But you know what? I have six
more
creepiest places on Earth.
Shut up.
I have Creepy Places on Earth Part 2.
Yes!
Dun, dun, dun. But wait, there's more. What?
You want to share those two? Where are they at?
I got to send you the
article. Y'all ready for this? What?
Yes, sir. Ready for Creepy Places? I got to send you the article real quick. Yeah.
We need to say hi to Amanda Coleman. She's been listening to us the whole time. She was worried about my computer, so she messaged me, and she said to tell you that you're awesome.
Yay.
So,
hi, Amanda.
Thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
Yes, we definitely appreciate every listener we get here on the Freak Awesome Paranormal Show. Thank you so much. Hopefully we'll see you this weekend or the weekend after.
Yeah, please.
Dun, dun, dun.
I didn't ask her.
Number six. Isla de las Menucas. Menucas.
Wait, did you put
the
link on my page?
The Island of the Dolls. I did. It's already there. Go look it up.
I'm
located
trying.
Smack in the middle of a heart. No. located smack in the middle of a swamp in the Aztec country, in Aztec County. Aztec country is a popular tourist destination of La Isla de Muñecas, or the Island of the Dolls. The name missing at least two adjectives and the word fucking. Island of the fucking dolls. To get there, visitors have to hire a guide to take them by boat through the canals of some weird Mexican river I can't pronounce, then to the island itself, all the while making the guide promise on a stack of Bibles that it's not going to abandon them once they reach their destination. Not that he'd do that, right? It's just an old abandoned island, once occupied by a single inhabitant named Don Julian Santana Barrera, who seemed to have a knack for doll collecting. So what? Lots of people collect dolls. The legend goes that years ago, a small girl drowned in the canals near the island, and not long after her death, Barrera found a corpse slash doll floating in the water. Then he found another one. By that point, he was hooked on a new and exciting hobby. Over the course of the next 50 years, the guy collected thousands of discarded dolls, which he thought would somehow serve as companions for the dead girl. Makes sense. Everyone knows Mexican girls enjoy mutilated trash dolls displayed in gruesome manners meant to simulate acts of torture and suicide. We try not to be too judgmental about other people's cultures. However, it does seem that the offerings weren't such a success, considering that in 2001, Julian passed away by drowning in the same canal as the girl whose ghost he was trying to appease for all those years. Mm. Either that or he was murdered, Chucky style, by his horrific collection, who then dragged him to the canals to make him look like a drowning. All right, you're up.
All right, of course, I get the one with the horrible name this time. Number five is Gunkanjama. Anyway, it's a literally Battleship Island. It's another name for Hashima, an uninhabited island 15 kilometers from Nagasaki, nicknamed for its apparent resemblance to a battleship. From 1887 to 1974, Gunkanjama was a coal mining facility, but the coal mine shut down and everyone left. Still, abandoned islands aren't that uncommon in Japan. Even Gunkanjama is only one of 505 uninhabited islands near Nagasaki. But it's by far the creepiest. Have you ever wondered what cities would look like if the human population was suddenly wiped out? Well, wonder no more. For over 30 years, the man-made structures on the island deteriorated with hardly any contact with the outside world. The sight of crumbling buildings and grass literally growing up through asphalt was so creepy, in fact, that the island was used for footage in the History Channel show Life After People. Did you ever watch that? That was a good show.
I did. Yeah, I like that show.
Actually, I think we watched it together. I think you're the one that showed it to me.
No.
And the creepy
fact. I don't know where I would show it to you on.
I think it was on Netflix.
Oh,
or maybe YouTube. Yeah. And the creepiest factor doubles once you find out that Gunkanjama was also a forced labor camp for over 500 Korean prisoners during World War II. And you know that some of them had to die horribly violent deaths and are currently seeking revenge on all who dare to enter. For many years, though, only selected journalists with balls bigger than their heads were allowed to enter, presumably having to sign a "do not sue if possessed" clause before being let in. Since 2009, however, those restrictions have been lifted, but still only about 10% of the aisle is open to the public. Some photographers do sneak deeper into the island from time to time, although we would not recommend it. Because of harsh weather conditions, access to Gunkanjama is possible only 160 days a year. So if you get stuck in this remote fortress in the middle of the sea at the wrong time, it might be months before any help can arrive, and you will need help.
How are you going to have food?
Exactly. Let's see.
Yeah, it really looks creepy. Check out those pictures.
Oh yeah, I mean any and, yeah in abandoned yeah
just
abandoned island like that. I'm gonna read number four, and this will be the last one we're gonna do because it's almost time to end the show. But the name of this hospital. Can you imagine going to a hospital called Hellingly Hospital? Hellingly Hospital is number four. The first thing is you need to know about Hellingly are that it's an abandoned hospital in England, and the word hell is right there in its name. Hellingly Hospital in England. Like right there, it could be more obvious. That this place were of the devil, unless the devil himself showed up in the photos torturing souls in the hallways. Oh yeah, we forgot to mention that this place wasn't just a hospital; it was an insane asylum. So you're going to an insane asylum called Hellingly Hospital. If that's not like a perfect recipe for some demented hauntings, I don't know what is. I really don't. Hellingly was once a state-of-the-art mental institution designed by a guy named G.T. Hine, who had the dubious distinction of being super good at building insane asylums. This particular one was a biggie, a 63-acre estate with its own rail line, a ballroom, a salon, and a water tower, plus a buttload of wards for the kinds of people who, for whatever reason, need to live in an insane asylum. But once the place was abandoned in 1994, it took a bullet train to Creepy Town. To look at these pictures, you'd think it was abandoned in 1894, not a mere 16 years ago. The deterioration of the Houston facility has been helped by along by arsonists and vandals, but some of them have helpfully brightened up the place with the graffiti. We had a choice between spending that alone in Hellingly and having our arm chopped off for the rest of the acts. We had immediate answer. So are we talking about below or above the elbow while pulling up the sleeve? So that is Hellingly Hospital. But
that would be cool to check out.
I would check it out, not by myself, because I'm not fucking
insane.
I'd
go with you.
Well, I don't have to go anyplace by myself anymore.
Nope, we are.
I have my
parent
partner.
Hell yeah.
Hell to the yeah. I didn't finish the whole article because we have some things to discuss.
Yes.
Some events
important
we have
matters.
Coming up. Yes.
Exciting events.
Next week, I'll give you a rundown for who we have coming up in the next 2 weeks. Next week, we have Angel May from the Exchange Hotel.
Another
on
one
the
of our
show.
Favorite people.
Yes, looking forward to having her on the show, talking about the haunted attraction they're doing at the Gordonsville Exchange Hotel. You know, I realize the Exchange Hotel is a haunted attraction itself, but they're doing a ghost walk, ghost-like tour where people jump out at you, that kind of haunted attraction. So we're going to talk about that for a little bit, and then we're going to talk about just kind of getting to know Angel a little bit. You know, what got her into the paranormal, stuff like that. And then on October 9th, we have Holly Mullins coming on the show,
another
which will be fun. It's always good
people.
To have Holly Mullins back for the Ryan and Holly birthday bash.
Woo! Yay!
So, looking forward to that. And then, I don't even know who we have on the 16th. Or the 14th, or who? Oh.
No, the 14th is a Saturday.
Yeah, it'll be the 16th. I don't know who we have on the 16th. We have, I think we might have Pat Bussard on the 23rd, and then we'll have Supernatural News again on the end of October. So we got a pretty full lineup. We've got a few events coming up. If you want to tell the listeners about our events we have coming up, Angie?
I know this coming weekend, the 30th, we've got the world's largest ghost hunt at the 360 Cabin. Everyone should come check that out. Is it $20
mm-hmm.
per person for investigation? $20
per person.
Until, yeah, until about like 2 a.m. So you really can't beat that. The next weekend, which I believe is October 7th, right? We have the the what's it called? What's the name for it? The official title?
The Halloween Hauntings for Hauntings for Evergreen. Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that one. That one's I really enjoyed. We did something like it in what was it? March, April, May?
It was May.
Was it April?
It was middle of April.
Yeah, that's right. All of the money, again, it's $20 per person on October the 7th. All of the money will go towards buying flags to put on graves of the fallen soldiers at Evergreen Cemetery, which if you don't know anything about it, Ryan did a great video from there today. Just seeing how like unkept and uncared for this cemetery is, that is filled with, fallen soldiers from almost every war there has been, I think, we've found. And it's something that I greatly enjoy doing with Ryan and Dennis back in May. And, it's really, really important that we get these flags for these heroes, because that's what they are. They're heroes and they deserve to be thanked. And, those flags need to be replaced. They do it every Memorial Day and Veterans Day. And like I said, I'll be there helping you guys out. And then what do we have? Is there anything until November the 11th? Is there anything else?
That's it. I mean, we're going to be at, Angie and I will be at the Avenue House on November 4th for their ghost thing they have going on. That's in Bedford County, Virginia. We're going to be out there for that.
Exciting.
Yes.
And then November 11th, right?
Yes. We have the Vibe Radio Network event at St. Albans Sanatorium. We're going to have a PayPal page for people to buy tickets to that. We're going to get that set up pretty soon. Yeah, St. Albans has got a ghost haunted house thing, too, up there. So they've been busy getting that set up. But we will have a place for people to buy tickets here in a few days. So if people want to start buying tickets for that, we'll have that set up for you guys.
And how much is it?
I think that's it.
$35. $35. So
$35,
that's not bad,
yes,
for all day plus an evening investigation. That's a great deal. And, guys, please go check out the Exchange Hotel's haunted attraction. Check out St. Albans if you guys want to take little day trips to go see something exciting, hissle, and creepy. Go show some love to our people out there. Show up.
Exactly. And go to Perry Plantation and check out their Perry Plantation.
Heather. Do they still do their Friday night haunts?
I think that's only a summertime thing.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Honestly,
I think it's only a summertime thing. But I doubt it, since she said every weekend is booked from now till November. But, yeah, go check out Barry Plantation, too.
Yes.
But, we've got some busy stuff.
I think, we talked for an hour and a half. To be fair, I was talking for an hour and a half nonstop. So I think I am done. Anything else you want to add before we take off?
Nope. Just enjoy. See you next time.
Yes. You won't be with us next Monday, I don't think.
No, probably not. I have to work, but if I go to days, you guys won't be able to get rid of me. It'll be every Monday.
Oh, that's nice. That's, what the hell? We have 30 minutes left on the stream.
30? It's 11 o'clock.
30 minutes. I know, right? I mean, not that I really want to do 30 more minutes of this, because...
I was going to say, I've got like 16 more articles up here.
No, that's okay.
I know you're tired.
As much as I love my freaks.
You need some rest.
I'm worn out. Yeah.
You are.
All right, guys. I'm like zoning out here. Have a great night.
We'll see you.
We'll
see you Monday, or he'll see you Monday.
Same freaking awesome time, freaking Steve C, freaking awesome channel. Hopefully, I'll have less back. Don't be doing it solo. Have a good night.
I hope not.
Bye.
Bye.